The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, 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 what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 586. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Brett Murdoch.
What up?
Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
And Brian Mungioma.
Well, it seems like the pressure has broken the valve.
Oh, damn.
Uh-oh.
We will talk about that. By the way, Manny, did you like how I slowly intro'd you so you get your food down? I was like, let me drag this shit out real quick.
Nah, man, I could, for the sound, I could make it not sound like I'm going.
Stop,
people, how are you
going? Wait, you sound like a fat chick. Oh man. I don't know if I said inside joke or not, but that's always our sign for fat people. It's like,
I think it has to do with, like, you know, the blob from the X-Men video game. You're like, no one can move the blob.
Yeah, that's right. And he also had that kind of sound, that he sounded like that in the show too, you know?
Yeah, he did.
Blob. Oh man. And why is it that Fabio always got the tuba horns, you know?
I mean, it's like a low kind of sound.
Yeah. Anyway.
Like, yeah, who created that trope?
And why does it work so well? You know, you see a fat guy walking here, boom, 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 boom. Like, that's perfect. Anyway, we are here for another one. We don't know if Chris will show up. I really hope Adam shows up because this episode is for him. You know, we're talking about a very dear subject to him. Two of them, you know, Hugo and Call of Duty. So we'll see what happens. But yes, obviously, you know, the main topic is going to be this guy right here. The Steam Deck costs a hell of a lot more than it used to. The hell of a lot more. But before we do that, since games are coming, I'm going to call this a half review of 007 because I've played like 7 hours of it. I'm on chapter 6, but I haven't beaten it yet. But I feel that's enough to give you, not a full review, but just deep impressions because the review codes did not go out until very, very late. Nobody really got this on time, which is kind of interesting. But that hasn't stopped the game from doing well. Anyway, so yes, this is a game. Obviously, I'm a big James Bond fan, but people are going to hate me for this. I've never played a good James Bond game. You know, like, I know motherfuckers love GoldenEye, but I didn't own an N64. And when I did eventually play it years later, I'm like, ugh. You know, but obviously.
Chris would say if he was here, Everything or Nothing.
Everything or Nothing.
The Pierce Brosnan game where it was like, it was just like this. It was like its own James Bond story, but it had, you know, it had nothing. It wasn't based on any specific movie. It was its own James Bond game. And it had Pierce Brosnan and it had its own Bond girl and its own song and everything.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah, I never played that.
I think it was by the Burnout Studio, by the way.
Oh, interesting.
So when you get in the car, it's like driving in Burnout.
That's fun. But yeah, logic wins. Yeah, there are very good things. Everything you've heard about James Bond, the good stuff, is all true. Because originally I didn't even have this game on my radar. I'm like, oh, here we go. James Bond game. You know, we've seen these before. I think the last one was actually a GoldenEye remake, which was terrible.
Wasn't there also, there was also that other one where it was like, yeah, it was the remake of that one of GoldenEye. and it didn't have, it had, what's his face in it? Daniel Craig in it.
Yeah.
And then it was that other weird one, which it was like, it was From Russia with Love, where sort of, it was a Sean Connery game.
Yeah. Very weird stuff. But, you know, I didn't really have it in my radar, but, you know, as we saw more, I was like, hey, this is actually looking pretty cool. So I got the review code, been playing it, and it's fucking awesome. Like, these people have done their homework, you know, and I'm just going to say it right now. One of the main things I was worried about, because obviously, you know, James Bond, ladies man, you know, and I was like, are they going to, you know, dumb it down, you know, for the message? No, within the first 2 hours, he's banging. I'm like, yep, that's James Bond, you know, and I've seen some of the other like clips. I'm like, okay. He's getting it in. And he's full of himself. He's brash, you know. He's not suave yet because this is like young James Bond, but he's getting there. Love the action. It's literally Uncharted meets Hitman. And I'm not even exaggerating with that. Like, if you played the Hitman games, the latest ones by IO Interactive, it's the same gameplay. Like, you know, you go into a mansion or whatever, you like, you know, investigate shit, you sneak around, eavesdrop, sabotage shit. And then obviously you got your Uncharted stuff, you know, climbing ledges, shooting motherfuckers, taking cover, punching melee, driving crazy ass, over the top action sequences. Every action sequence seems to outdo the last, and every action sequence already seems like the finale of a game. So I'm like, how much further can you guys keep going? You know, so really enjoying it. The story's really cool. And again, it's somewhat open-ended, kind of like the Hitman games. For example, in the beginning, you're in this club and you're supposed to find your informant is in red. That's all you're told, right? So I go in there. I see a hot chick in a red dress. I'm like, there's my informant. I go up to this chick, start macking on her. Her boyfriend rolls up. He was appreciating it. You know, calmed it down. Then later on, I go to the bathroom. This dude rolls up. He wants to fight. I had to fuck him up in the bathroom. And then after I meet my actual informant, which is just a regular guy in a red shirt, he tells me, hey, meet my contact here. So I go meet the contact. And then the lady in the red dress shows up. It almost fucks up the meeting. You know, if I would have went right to the guy with the red shirt, I wouldn't have had any of those interactions. Crazy, right?
Yes. So they give you a little bit of an open-endedness to the game.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Very Hitman-like, you know. Graphics are dope. I like I don't know what the hell if it's proper ray tracing or the older version of it. You know, what is it?
There's actually a really good video about the tech that the IO is using. They are actually not using ray tracing.
Yeah,
They're not using ray tracing or path tracing. They're using like a combination of, you know, really good probes in the environments, and then they're using a screen space solution. So they have like double stuff.
Yeah, the old way.
And the mirror in his apartment, that is a really old trick.
Yeah.
So what it is it's so the way they used to do like full cameras like that is that they would put like a another camera behind the mirror. And then what it would do is it would project what it sees on the opposite side onto the front of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah it's a trick that's been used. Like you see it in Dead Rising. You see, like, in fact, I think Half-Life 2 has a version of it that's on the water. So, yeah, it's pretty much just a like a projection trick that they're using on there.
Yeah, and that's funny you mentioned the apartment because that's exactly what I was thinking about. But there's also a scene where you're walking around and you bump into a mirror and it's you. You're like, oh, shit. What's the other thing I wanted to say? The game is fucking dope. It's definitely one I recommend to most people. We got a question about that on the Sunday show. It's like, what happened to Uncharted games? Here it is, you know, but just better.
10 years later.
Yeah, I mean, but it's just better. but the stealth is a lot better. It's not perfect, though. Some people who give it perfect scores, I would say that. The thing I like the least is the car mechanics. They're really bad, in my opinion. Very janky. Now, janky is not the right word. Very stiff. You know, it doesn't feel as smooth. Like, if you're coming off of Forza or something, you'll be like, what the fuck is this shit? The car mechanics aren't that great. Some of the enemies could be a little stupid. But, yeah, it's the car mechanics. But the cars themselves look very nice, obviously. you know. So I definitely recommend that one. Again, all the good stuff you've heard, it's good. And, you know, this just came out today. The game has already sold 1.5 million copies. So it's already doing very, very well for itself, which is really cool. And then this other thing, it's funny. This goes to show my ignorance, right? Apparently, hey, there's Chris. Apparently, the game has a bunch of influencers in it. But me not knowing who these people are, I had no idea. But some people are very upset about that. So some guy called Shroud is in it. Manny's boy Septic Eye is in that.
Yep, Jack Septic Eye, who's in charge of who's a producer on the Bloodborne animated film or movie.
Yeah, the black dude from the meme is like, you know, that does that. He's in it. But my thing is, here's why I don't mind as much. One, I don't know these people, so I don't care. And James Bond movies have had kind of silly cameos themselves, so this is like the video game version of that, you know.
Yeah, you definitely more in the Roger Moore ones, so you'll have like a random real famous person just show up out of nowhere.
Yeah, so I kind of see it that way, but I also understand why people are upset, because it could take you out of the game if you like know these people, you know. For me, it didn't take me out because I don't fucking know them. You know,
I mean, it's equivalent to like when, you know, hip hop gamers showed up in Watch Dogs.
Yeah, know? That's right. Yeah.
He's in there. He's got the belt. He's and got everything.
Yeah. But at the same time, we know him. So it's like, oh, it's cool. It's my buddy, you know. So how would you feel if you didn't like hip hop gamer and he's in the game, you know?
I mean, yeah, definitely. You know, you definitely have those shade throwers, you know, who don't care for hip hop. So you have that stuff. I don't know. You know, it's a weird one. Like for me, it's like, yeah, I don't really care for these people, but at least from the roles that I've seen that they're playing, they're not really like important roles. Like I think Jacksepticeye is like a coat check guy.
Yeah, they're both in the club, and I completely passed by them. I didn't, yeah, but like, I mean, it wasn't like, you know how like in a movie or a TV show, there's a cameo, everything just stops. Here's this person. I didn't interact with them. I was just doing the mission. Mm-hmm. Like you kind of, I'm not going to say you have to go out of your way, but if you don't, you know, you're not forced to interact with them is what I'm saying. I didn't.
Yeah, it's not like, you know? It doesn't seem like it's saying, oh, ho, ho, here. Well, yeah. With the exception of that, he literally does it. But like, I think even then, like if you see him standing next to the thing, you have to specifically talk to him in order for him to get to him to do his meme.
Yeah.
You
know what
I mean?
For sure.
So,
but yeah, it's good stuff. Does anybody here have any questions for me about this game?
Do you like the James Bond's, the song that begins the game?
Yeah, it's fine. It's some famous singer woman that I don't know. But yeah, Chris, what were you going to ask?
No, it's just important. Is it good?
It is good. Like I said, you know, before we got here, I said these motherfuckers did their homework. Within the first 2 hours, James Bond's fucking, you know? Like this is good. You know, and the chicks are hot.
Okay, but is it good? Is it good by Bond film good standards, which I'm not even going to make a statement on that, or is this good by GoldenEye standards?
It's good by Casino Royale standards.
Ew, okay.
Which is good, you know, which is very good, because in my opinion, Casino Royale is the last good James Bond anything, you know? And before that, Brett, it was GoldenEye, you know?
Yeah, but like GoldenEye is the high watermark everybody's measuring this up against.
They're measuring it by Casino Royale.
The name brand version, you're like, it's as good as the Timu version, and I'm like, okay, well, that's...
Bond game was like Everything or Nothing on PS2.
Okay, Brett, hold on. Let's go back. Are you asking me, is it as good as GoldenEye the video game or GoldenEye the movie?
The video game.
Oh, I have, again, I personally think GoldenEye is shit. So I'm the wrong person to ask, you know?
Did you not play until years later?
Yes, because I didn't own N64, because I was like, why am I going to buy that thing? I played it years later. I'm like, oh, God, what the fuck?
Yeah, oh, my God. Yeah, bro, like you can't go play GoldenEye after you've played Halo. The fuck?
This is very true. That's literally when I played it after Halo.
No, Halo ruins you.
Yeah.
That's the thing that like a lot of young bloods don't even remember. Like, no, Halo fucking ruined everything. After you played Halo, you're like, well, my backlog is dead.
Yeah. But Brett, to your point, other people have said this is the best James Bond game since GoldenEye. People have said that.
That's, I'm not expecting not it to
saying
be
a lot high, but
in clarity. I'm just being like, is it enough to be compared in conversation? And honestly, since you've been hearing that, that kind of answers that question. Like,
yeah,
if it's good enough to have people like compare it to GoldenEye, be like, it's no GoldenEye, but it belongs in the same conversation. That's still a pretty big win.
I don't understand. Hold on, real quick. I'm sorry to cut you guys off. This is very kind of important. I want to give a shout out to Young Savage, not only for giving us $5, appreciate that, but check out what he says here. He goes, what's up, guys? I'm kind of feeling down today, but it's always nice when I need a distraction to see you all are live. Keep it up. Dope podcast, gaming for the win. We're here to please, brother.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
You know?
Yeah, man. That is some of the nicest, genuine feedback that we get. Like, well, it's all about our community, so it's good to hear that we're landing.
Yes, good stuff. Chris, what are you saying, bro?
Well, I just feel like everybody goes back to GoldenEye 64, and I think that this First Light is really an adventure game, right? It's really a mixture of what were you saying? Like,
it's Uncharted meets Hitman. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect. But like, that's what I thought of. Everything or Nothing on PS2 was an adventure game, much like that. You know, there's a lot of run and gun stuff, a lot of platforming and things like that. And it was generally good. It even had a good song. And it was Pierce Brosnan who was another like story with his Bond in it. Like, but it was an exclusive game. It was an exclusive story. And ever since then, we haven't had a good one. But everybody, like GoldenEye 64 is put on such a pedestal that it's almost undeserved because, like you said, you play it later and you're like, oh man, this is rough. This game's
terrible. You're the one that brought the soundtrack into it, and that was the thing that keyed me off.
Okay. When you talk about how's
the game, and does it have an iconic soundtrack? Immediately, I'm like, the GoldenEye pause music. Yep. It's impossible not to make that association.
Yeah. If you played it, yeah.
I'm just saying that's a crime of success right there.
Oh, no, I agree with that.
I can hear that fucking pause music in my head right now,
bro. That's like when you see just a screenshot of the Mass Effect 2 scanning, you hear that fucking music. That's how you know you've done it. but Chris, to your point, because obviously you're the big Hitman fan here, bro, there are missions in this game I'm like, is this a leftover Hitman mission? You know, like I've done this before with the chandelier fucking things up. You know, the only difference is like, you know, you don't have to drag the bodies away. But it's pure Hitman. And I was telling the story earlier where basically I'll repeat it for you again, but I'll just shorten it. Basically, I was supposed to meet a contact wearing red. I found a hot chick in a red dress. I started macking on her. Her boyfriend got pissed off. Later on, he finds me. I have to fight him in the bathroom. Later on, the woman in the red dress almost ruins my like dealing with the actual person I was supposed to meet. But the thing is, the person in red I was supposed to meet was a guy in a red dress, in a red shirt. I could have just talked to him. I would have skipped all that shit with the woman. I'm like, whoa, that's crazy, right? That kind of Hitman-ish, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
Bro, Hitman is the one game that I want to see AI in its current form be put into, because like if you talk about like fucking up an AI by confusing the shit out of it, like, yeah, I want to do that in Hitman. Like, I want to go up to the, like the poor janitor and just talk him backwards until he does like, what? Yeah, no, the key's totally where you left it in the safe, was it, or whatever, you know? Like, that'd be the one time where I think it'd be fun to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Oh yeah, there are sections in this game where you have to pass lie detecting tests, which is kind of fun, you know.
There's not a lot of games where you can manipulate people for fun and profit in the name of good. And I feel like Hitman would be definitely one of those games where you're like, even if there's not like a distinct, like, because they're so good at those games where there's like a million different answers, to have one where like, yeah, like you have, you know, some of the guests or security have an AI and then just like really shitty security on that AI. So you could just be like, can you manipulate this poor custodian into giving away the secrets? I don't know. I don't know, way to use the shittiness of the architecture for your advantage.
Yeah. And Chris, I said the only thing I don't like about this game is the car mechanics. I think they're bad.
Yeah, you said the driving was stiff. And
yeah. Yeah, so other than that, the game trade, you definitely got to check it out. You'll love it.
Oh, I love the versatility of Hitman. If you tell me it has that, that was great. Because Hitman, I'd be like, yo, I'm supposed to kill this dude up here, but he's right here. You know what? Fuck it. I'm gonna kill this guy right now.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm really curious, like, how this, like, When you say Hitman, like, are you talking about the depth of which you can approach, or are you just talking kind of the flavor and vibes? Because, like, I don't know.
It's not, I'm not gonna say it's as deep as Hitman, because, like, again, if you in Hitman, if you fuck up a mission, you fuck up the whole mission. This one, you could just beat the shit out of people and get away with it. You know, if you mess up, yeah, you know.
The best, at least from what I can see, it seems like it's like, it's not Hitman light, but it's a little bit more than that.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, I know how to ask this, and an incredible way to shame Ubisoft while we're at it. So, is this early Assassin's Creed or recent Assassin's Creed?
Early Assassin's Creed isn't as robust as this, though.
Early Assassin's Creed actually had more ways to reach mission objective success.
It's in that vein. I guess that's the best way. Because again, Hitman has more mechanics than even early Assassin's Creed, but it's in that vein where it's like, just approach the mission how you want. Obviously, it's all going to end the same because it's still going to be the same cinematic, but the way you could do things is because
you don't have to do it their way.
No, there is no, you do it your way, basically. Oh. Like a Hitman game.
I like the Burger King approach.
Yeah, so the game's dope. Definitely deserved. I'm looking forward to getting more into it. Because again, I'm like 7 hours in, but it's great. It feels like a movie. That's the part I forgot. I was like, there's something. I love how as soon as an enemy shoots at you, okay, because basically when you go into an enemy territory, it says like restricted area, like on the top of the screen, says restricted area in yellow. As soon as that enemy shoots at you, it changes to licensed to kill in red. I'm like, okay, let's go. Love it. I will use that license. All right, so yeah, that was the good. Now we got to give you the bad. All right, so you know, we've had the price of everything going up recently. The latest one was the PlayStation 5 going up twice already in price. Now, one of our favorite handheld systems, I would say the one that really gave birth to, you know, the current state of handhelds, the good old Steam Deck, is now way more expensive than it used to be. The 640...
Et tu, Gaben?
Huh?
I said et tu, Gaben.
Et tu, Gaben. I'll pull up the exact prices, but for the OLED model, it with the 1 terabyte hard, you know, SSD, it used to be $649, which was a really good deal, right? Especially when other handhelds started going up in price. Now,
please tell me I heard this wrong.
No, unfortunately, $949.
Jesus fuck.
Yeah. And the second cheapest.
I thought that might have been a typo or something. Jesus, dude.
Yeah, it went up by $300, bro.
What, 30%? What the fuck?
Yeah, so obviously we're going to get into this, but that Steam machine ain't going to be cheap. I'll tell you that right now. But yeah, Brent, you know, go ahead. These are kind of your raw thoughts right now, you know?
Whoa. Oof. Okay, my raw thoughts are tough to distillate, honestly, into just this, because, like, I'll straight up let the cat out of the bag. I think the architecture of AI is fascinating. I'm in this weird place where I'm not really with everybody. I'm not with the crypto bros, and I'm not with the doomers. I'm just more like, this is a fundamental, interesting architectural shift, and part of the byproduct of this is obviously the hardware crisis, which is bleeding into this. So as much as, you know, we don't want to talk about AI really anywhere, anytime with almost anyone at this point, it does kind of become a little bit relevant. On the plus side, I was actually thinking about this. When we do get over whatever bottleneck this is and they start massively overproducing for AI, and this is where we all should perk up and get excited, since this is encroaching on our hobby and killing our ability to get the hardware, the inevitable overcorrection is going to lead to an absolute dearth of gaming power that we may actually see an industry-wide shift towards something notably better. The first time in most of my adult life that we would actually be like, oh, wow, this looks significantly better than the previous generation, because we're not going to be bottlenecked, unfortunately, because we're already taking the brunt of that now. So that is fucking ridiculous, but also at the same time, like, I've been following Ramageddon. I actually jumped in and got a couple of mini PCs. one with 96 gigs and one with 64 gigs as this was rocketing up. I've been paying attention to the market and trying to not to get pinched by the RAM issues and the CPU issues. So I've seen this, what I'm getting at is from a bunch of different angles, and I see the hardware issues. I see the sensationalist news about Armageddon, about AI, big fucking tech deals, about NVIDIA being a jackass, about all of it. And unfortunately, I feel like this was probably bound to, I hate saying this, but like a 30% price jump is indicative of we're hitting a massive hardware shortage, which is also being mirrored from a bunch of other places. So I don't even know if I can be mad solely at Steam on this one.
It's not their fault. They're paying the same. They're under the same conditions as everybody else. RAM costs too much. The fucking tariffs, and then the war in Iran causing oil prices to go up. This was inevitable, you know. I've seen a lot of people saying, "Oh, fuck Gabe Newell. He's a fucking dick." Like they can't. They're under the same conditions as everybody else, guys. You got to understand that, you know.
I do want to take the opportunity to point this at NVIDIA and that fucking CEO who every time he's on stage is wearing a different leather jacket. Congratulations. I couldn't fucking unsee it. Now you won't be able to either.
Yeah. Well, you could blame Sam Altman, but let's try to stay on topic with the Steam Deck itself. Manny, what were you going to say? You're muted.
I said this before, like, obviously they could never do this, but what if they could offset this? They literally could toss a $300 Steam card inside of there to get people to play games to offset the price of that console.
Yeah, they're not going to do that.
It wouldn't cost them that. It wouldn't really cost them anything, to be honest. And like $300 can go pretty, you know, it could go pretty damn fast depending on what you're buying. You buy a bunch of games and then you're already in the system. To me,
Can they even produce physical RAM?
He's talking about a voucher.
Like
a voucher. You know, yeah. Like you get a Steam card, like in other words, like a gift card for like $300 to offset the amount of the console.
Yeah. I mean, they could probably,
they're not manufacturing anything. And to be honest, they make way more than that, than that in daily. So how many people are going to be buying these things? They're probably not going to be a lot of people.
Unfortunately, it's instantly sold out. Despite how high the price, instantly sold out.
All right, so you know, they're like, I guess Steam people are just like Nintendo people. They just fucking keep eating. Doesn't matter.
By the way, this is the second time we've seen this where it's like, hey, we jack up the price. Oh, sold out. So you're encouraging these companies to do this, you know? Or rather, I should say, just to be fair, you're letting them know that it's okay. You're letting them know it's okay, which is insane. Steam Glazers. Chris, get in here, man. What are your thoughts? By the way, the 512 gig model went from $549 to $789. And like I said, the $549, the $649 model is now $949. But yeah, Chris, what are your thoughts on this, bro?
Well, yeah, I mean, that inflation's outrageous, but it sets a bad precedent when people run out and buy it anyway.
Yeah.
Right. What is the lesson here? Then everybody can follow suit. What is Lenovo going to do when they see this? Like, what are we doing? You know, everybody.
Did you see what happened? Lenovo released a 1349 system, instantly sold out.
Yeah. This is ridiculous. Like, we've never seen a console generation do this, or anywhere. Anytime hardware ages, they make revisions for it, they make it cheaper, more affordable to get more people to market. The market is going completely backwards. Now you're getting adoption by raising the price, and the hardware hasn't changed, right? So, I mean, this whole thing with AI and expanding data centers and all these, like, intent to purchase all this RAM and whatever has screwed up the market. Like, the RAM isn't even, like, it's just spoken for without even being manufactured yet, without even actually being purchased.
Thank you, Seb Altman.
Yeah, it's caused this ripple effect that has just damaged, like, hardware, and everything will just keep going up and up. And people go, well, I better get in now, right? Like, that's the thinking. It's all this, like, not even FOMO, but it's like, well, if I don't get in now, they may raise the price, and now the Steam Deck is, like, you know, 1200 or whatever, the loan of 1300, it will just keep going up. And that, you know, that thinking is opposite, because if you missed out, right? Like, what is your incentive? Just wait, because if you way into this, which people have, then the only lesson from this is like, well, I guess we could just keep raising the price. We suffer no consequences in sales, actually increase.
Yeah, but the prices aren't going to go back down.
They're not.
No, but that's the problem, right? That if demand is going up as supply doesn't change, but you're increasing the price, then there's no reason to lower the price ever, right? You know, the whole thing with this is demand should go down. It's like, well, that's beyond my threshold, or that's beyond reasonable. I'm not buying into this. That's the only way prices go down, right? To meet demand.
But they're not going to. NVIDIA is literally too big to fail. They envelop 40% of the economy.
To be fair, NVIDIA is not making the chip for the Steam Deck. Just throwing that out there.
No, but like NVIDIA is at the heart of a lot of this, and they just became the most valued company in the world. So I think that's relative when they control the leading segment in what is 40% of the economy right now.
Yeah, they're one of them. Them and Sam Altman literally hogging up 40% of the world's RAM. I'm not making that number up, by the way.
Yeah, but NVIDIA just passed Microsoft as the most profitable company in the world.
Okay, but again, let's try to stick to the topic here. By the way,
I mean, it's all connected. It's an industry-wide hardware shortage driven by the pivoting of the main manufacturer of some of the vital components in every single gaming system. You can't talk about this in isolation. This isn't a shift in topic. It's a broadening of the topic to understand all of the influences. That's the problem, is that there is an industry-wide hardware shortage being driven by companies that were primarily gaming companies pivoting away from gamers and fucking up the market share.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the companies that made RAM, you know, like who was the one that just completely pulled out? They were like, fuck this shit. You know, we're done.
Crucial.
It was Micron, thing. Right?
Micron, Crucial. Yeah,
Micron.
Yeah. By the way, even the refurbished OLEDs are fucking more expensive.
Yeah. Like that's when I say like I bought in, like, and that's kind of, it's kind of, you know, it's funny because Chris isn't wrong. The problem that I have, or the only pushback I would have is, like I said, like I just got some too many PCs. Was it a good time? No. You know what the next worst time is? Later. And unfortunately, we find ourselves in a position where we're left with like, yeah, I could fall on my sword for the benefit of the market. Am I going to do that? Fuck no. Is it the right thing to do? Sure. Have I been doing that with gaming for the last, I don't know, 30 years and been paying the price for it? Also, yes. So I'm not going to wait and be a bag holder and let these prices go up when they're not going to come back down. NVIDIA and other companies like them are not going to just suddenly lower the prices when demand comes back up. They're just going to stay there, and the companies are either going to go bankrupt or they're not, and most likely they're publicly traded, and that's not going to happen. It's everything is too integrated. So unfortunately, while as much as I agree with you, Chris, I don't think we're in a position where wait out the market is an option. And I think that's why this thing sold out. It sucks. It's a rock and a hard place. I can't tell you what's better, but I can tell you from a consumer standpoint what I would do.
Yeah.
Revolt.
Yeah, you could do that, but that's not going to happen either. You know, people want their shit, you know, that's the problem. And you're literally telling companies it's okay to keep raising prices. You know, we'll buy it. It doesn't fucking matter. You know, Carlos, what are your thoughts, bro? Okay, Brett, you first and then Carlos.
The problem is it's not, and Tony, you hit the nail on the head. The problem is, though, that it's not you buy the shit or somebody else will. It's even like, if the gamers don't take this, then we'll just move on to the industry that will. And that's the problem, is we don't have the leverage anymore because everything's been stolen by a competitive industry.
Yeah, no, you're right. Go ahead, Carlos.
Yeah, I mean, The whole thing with Valve raising up the prices, I mean, it makes sense. Like Tony laid it out, there's a myriad of factors that are attributing to the price increase that are not, you know, I don't want to defend Gabe Newell here, but you know, it's not up to them really. You know, it's the market conditions that are intervening with the gaming industry.
My favorite kind of conditions. And
it's the favorite conditions. It's the new pandemic, you know, the type of condition that you know, everyone contracts. Here's the thing: the prices are gonna go up for the Steam Deck. You know, the prices have gone up for the Switch 2, for the PS5.
multiple times.
Oh yeah,
for the Xbox Series consoles, we're getting these elevated prices with this high inflation, and they are going to be normalized. And that's why, you know, we had a lot of discussions, and I bring this up like every other month. We used to have discussions about how much is the PS4 going to cost, how much is the PS5 going to cost, and I always went higher because you know back the discussion was, well, you know, console people aren't going to buy consoles at this price. But my thing was, no, these dudes always normalize higher prices because, yeah, you know, always inflation. But also, you know, things when with electronics, people are buying iPhone every year and they aren't that cheap. And it was just about time that Sony and Microsoft and everyone else caught up to the Apples of the world, where they're like, oh, we can raise up prices a lot. Let's see how this goes. So they raise up the prices. PS5s are still selling. We raise up the price. We have a high price of the Switch 2 compared to Switch 1. It's still selling better than the Switch 1 in the first couple of months. So they're like, oh, bet. Let's raise up the price again. I mean, we have an excuse. So whenever they have an excuse, they can go up in price. It gets normalized. $70 games, $1,000 consoles. It becomes the law of the land. And you know, people sort of, like I mentioned, they get normalized, and that's just how it's going to go.
Yeah.
That's why I was predicting years ago that the PlayStation 6 was going to be over $700. And that was before all the bullshit.
If it costs $700, we'll be fucking lucky.
Yeah.
$700 seems like a fucking bargain.
Yeah. If they say, hey, the PS6, the cheapest one, $700. Fuck. That's a mic drop these days.
That is a mic. Oh, my God, man. That is bad, bro. One of my colleagues was showing me like a pre-built PC. The specs were okay. They weren't great. $1,700. I'm like, a year ago, I would have told you to go fuck yourself. Now I'm like, that's a good price. That's sad, man. Brian, I want to hear your thoughts, bro.
It's just depressing seeing all these prices just go up. Because as Carla said, I don't think these prices are coming down anytime. So this might just be the new state of normal again. It's again, I have nothing else to add. I'm not angry at Valve for this. It's just kind of the way it is. What's up, Carlos?
Would you say that this is the new state of play?
Good one. It's just so frustrating. Again, and I share Brett's frustration that all this is out of everyone's control, which is the most frustrating part. Ironically, because of like a handful of people, everyone around the world paying the price. And again, I'm just waiting for the next thing that causes prices to shoot up, because there's going to be something that suddenly, oh yeah, prices have to go up now because some guy did this thing this time. You know, like, I don't know, someone burnt down TMNC headquarters or something stupid. It's going to be something dumb. And then suddenly prices need to go up again. And that's it. So, yeah. Again, I just feel really bad about the Steam machines because they had such great promise. And now with this, either A, they're going to come out, and B, probably starting off at $1,200.
That's what I think $1,200. Too. That's what I think too, yeah.
Or B, they're not coming out for another 2 years. It has to be one of the two.
Yeah, I agree. Man.
Well, and that's, Brian brought up a good point. The whole thing with Steam and the Steam machine and Valve and the Steam Deck, it's all related. You know, when people want to blame Valve, and here's me going, you know, defending Gabe Newell again, you know, raising up the price for the Steam Deck, you know, you kind of understand why they're doing it. Especially considering at the fact that they would have probably released or at least given us a date for the Steam machine. Yeah. But they can't because they don't know what the hell is going to cost. They have no clue.
Yeah, they really don't.
Gabe doesn't even live on land anymore. He don't know what's going on. He's got his Leviathan yacht.
Yeah. Rich, I want to get your thoughts, man. I know you're glad you got your Steam Deck before the price went up.
Oh, absolutely. No, I think we all expected this to happen because we saw everyone else raising their prices. The Nintendo Switch 2, that price has gone up. Of course, PlayStation 5, as well as PlayStation Plus. And this is a reminder, if you did not renew your subscription or you just got a notice to renew your subscription, then be aware of that. But no, I'm not really surprised. Like Brian said, I will be curious to know how much the Steam machine costs. And I also will be curious to know how many people on here are still going to get a Steam machine. Like some of y'all said... Yeah, I thought some of y'all said that y'all would get the Steam machine.
Yeah, that was before all this bullshit. I'm telling you this right now. I'm not buying any fucking gaming system for who knows how long. I think that's it. It's too much, you know?
No, I don't think I'm going to be buying a Steam box or whatever the hell they want to call it.
Steam machine.
It's not Steam machine. I'm not going to pick that thing up. It would be nice if it was a you know, at least an affordable price, but you know, again, you know, that the way they think of gaming nowadays is some sort of luxury. So
yeah,
I don't. And again, like people, you know, the whales and all the people that, you know, the FOMO people don't even have enough sense to just stand their ground and not take it. And then also, not to mention, you know, yes, it did sell out. How many of those are going on a fucking eBay? So you have a bunch of here's the thing. You could literally sell out of those things from fucking scalpers. People may not actually have any. There's a good chance that people may not even have any sort of interest. Like, oh man, it's too expensive. And then these scalpers just snatch everything up like they did with fucking PS5s.
Yes. If they have a Steam account, they could do it, you know?
Yeah. So, what was the thing? You have to have a Steam account for X amount of time and you can only buy one or two, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so they can't just hoard them, but still, there's some scalping going on. Absolutely,
yeah, there's most definitely scalping going on. To be honest, I feel like they should mark them. Be like, yo, this one's X something something. That's one of the ones that was already sold.
This would never happen. But it's like, if one gets sold, it's like it needs to be turned on in a certain amount of time. You know?
Oh yeah.
By the way,
you can't sit on it.
Yeah. Some interesting things being said in the chat here. And again, just shows you the state of things. Logic Win says, in all seriousness, I think Microsoft will for sure take the hit and launch at $9.99. Think about it like this. 3 months ago, you would have been like, that's fucking insane. Now you're like, yeah, that sounds like a good deal. That's fucking sad, bro.
To be honest, it doesn't sound like a good deal regardless. $9.99 or any other price, because to be honest, if you're excusing that price, then it's like, well, then who cares? Like, why, you're already just poisoning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Again, like gaming is not supposed to be supposed to be a fucking luxury. Never was. Just like the movies. Movies aren't supposed to be a fucking luxury either. You shouldn't be paying $20 to sit down in a fucking seat. But none of these assholes get this shit. Or in other words, you bring it down to a reasonable price to just get thing out. But the thing is, that's again, that artificial scarcity bullshit rearing its ugly head here again. I got to get it before it sells out again.
Manny, that statement you said that gaming is, you know, it's not supposed to be a luxury. Had a lot of people disagree with me on that point on Twitter, yelling at me, oh, you're an idiot. Gaming has always been expensive. Like, here's the thing. Gaming was never cheap, but it was never out of the reach of normal. I was poor my whole fucking life, and I had gaming consoles, you know? So don't give me that shit.
Was this from Youngbloods who weren't there, Tony?
What happened, Brett?
Because... I said, was this from Youngbloods who weren't there? Because I feel like it's probably from Youngbloods who weren't there.
I have to believe it is. I have to believe it is because they didn't know.
Yeah. All they've ever known is a 600 console. If they grew up in the PlayStation 3 era, right?
Yeah. And just for inflation, the original Nintendo cost.
Justified inflation. Yeah, tell that to people when they told you to get another fucking job. Now they'll be like, oh yeah, I gotta get another job. They don't even give you like anything extra to try to offset any of it. I guess PlayStation does.
Where the fuck do you live? A matinee where I live is $20 motherfucking dollars, bro. $12 is like, no, man, get out of here. Maybe you live in bumfuck. You know, you live in the city. That shit is $20 matinee, motherfucker.
Yeah, and it used to also be if you lived out in like areas of Queens,
yeah,
like you would get a better price than you would in like Manhattan, but now all over the city, it's all fucked up.
Yeah,
like, you know, I'm sure the Midway over there is also fucked up.
I stopped going to the Midway because the fucking Midway was $12 for the matinee. I'm like, I'm not doing this anymore, and that was 10 years ago. You know, it's crazy.
I do have
good.
I do have a slight disagreement with the panel. Gaming was always kind of a luxury, but here's the thing. Everything else wasn't as expensive.
Yes.
You know, living in a home wasn't as expensive. Buying a house wasn't as expensive. Groceries wasn't as expensive. You know, salaries used to go further back in the day. That's why Carlos, people could afford.
Some motherfucker came at me saying, oh, it's okay because people make way more money now. Are you fucking insane?
Okay, I got to ask, because you know, maybe I'm just not following the lead here. So I'm going to ask the dumb question. Does it matter? Like, does it really matter if we want to, you know, turn around and walk backwards and look and figure out how we got here? Because, like, my main concern is where do we go from here? And, like, I want to ask, Manny, I want to ask you this, but I don't want it to sound like I'm calling you out, because I'm definitely not. But, like, my very real question to you is be like, okay, so I hear your frustration and I respect your position, but where do you go from here? Because it seems like you're playing a game of chicken with an industry, and it's not necessarily artificial scarcity anymore. The problem is,
I will say this, there is nothing there. There is no future for that. If it doesn't reach what I consider a reasonable pricing, then there will not be another game console.
Okay.
Yeah,
there will not be, you know, like that. It has nothing to do with like, oh, I fucking need to play some video game. Nah, man.
Oh no, I don't think at all.
Just like back in the old days when your kids get games were just one thing that you did to waste your fucking time. There's so many other things that you could be doing. So I don't see it as like any sort of big loss.
No, I mean.
Have that. I don't have that urge. Like, oh man, I need to play all this shit. No, I like you. Look, you saw. You guys all went out and bought PlayStation 5's day and date, but they had barely had. Okay, they had a decent little bit amount of games,
shit.
And then all of a sudden, all of your consoles were collecting dust. I bought it. Like, bought mine. Like, what was it 2 years ago? Right, 2023, something like that.
Yeah.
So I don't, there is no, there, it's okay to wait. I don't have any of that FOMO stuff. Even if there's some sort of title that I want to play, it's fine. It doesn't matter.
But did you end up paying less?
Yes, I did actually. Okay. because
is before Ramageddon and all that bullshit.
This is before Ramageddon, and this also, and not to mention the one that I picked up, that was the stupid slim one, and it also came with like a game with it too. So it was the lower price version of it, and it also came with a game. So I did theoretically get it for less than what the thing. So it did what it was supposed to. But
to clarify the shit
side of it. Is it ended up 6 months around 6 months later after not, you know, it just decided to go on the fritz and I had to send it to PlayStation
because that's gay.
So the
reason I brought this up was it kind of seems like, and I hear a lot of people saying that we're kind of being priced out, and to bring it back to the movie thing, like, this is like, yeah, movie tickets are getting expensive, but they're getting expensive because BookTok is selling out movie theater ticket seats for people to read smutty romance novels. It's one of those, like, it's the industry is unfortunately being overtaken by something else leveraging it out of its place. So it's not even an artificial scarcity. It's a bidding war with a hyper-competitive industry. So the only that leaves people in a really weird position where if you want to take that stance, unfortunately, the thing that you gamble is being priced out of your hobby. And you are having the very correct mindset when in that position, but there are going to be two distinct camps, people who are going to be willing to risk being priced out of their hobby and people who are going to fearfully try and build a barrier to try and make sure that hot, you know, rising water doesn't engulf them. And I think that the selling out is, yeah, partially scalpers, but it's also that second type. I think there's a very real fear of people being priced out, especially of computer gaming, and that is definitely driving some of the fear buying.
Yeah. Manny, it's funny. Obviously, I didn't say anything, but I wanted to answer for you, but you pretty much said what I did. Just, you know, a little longer. I was just going to say, oh, you know what you do? What's the option? Leave. You know?
Well, I speak so, but I'm not going to speak for a motherfucker. Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, like, because, for example, this might be a little off topic, but it's still relevant. I was watching a podcast the other day, and the guy had a listener question. The question was, these comics that I'm reading are horrible. The guy said, I literally feel like I'm getting fucked in the ass by a very large man. What do I do? And it's like, stop reading fucking comic books. Like, that. Like, how, just stop it. You know?
It's not worth it, brother.
So, Brett, to your point, it's like, what do you do? Leave.
the thing about it, I'm not like hoeing and humming, oh, I won't be able to play video games. Whatever, man. Like, it's what it is. You know,
I'll say this, man. And I've said, you know, I always knew there would come a time where I would stop playing video games. So I already had that mentality. Something's going to make me stop video games. Either I just thought it was like, I just don't have the reflexes anymore. Or, you know, that's what I thought it was going to be. So I always knew I need other hobbies instead, which I already do. So if, let's just say no more gaming is done, you're finished. I'm okay with that because there's still old shit too. I still got my existing consoles. So basically, even if I don't play new games anymore, I'll be perfectly fine because I still got plenty of old shit.
But also, I would also say, like, with all of this going on, how many people are going to make the dip? Like, you know, if anything, they'll probably try to keep this generation running as long as they can.
Keep it going.
Because, like, you already have a bunch of people that are, you know, already have an install base. So it's probably going to be just like PlayStation 4, PlayStation 4 generation, where it's under, they're still releasing PlayStation 4 fucking games right now.
Yep.
Still, you know.
I mean, that is. That's an assumption. I don't know if I'm going to get behind because, again, the market's getting very, like, for instance, let's say, again, we're taking a turn nobody's going to like here, but, like, let's say that, like, GPT or whatever fucking thing takes off, right? We're already seeing NPUs, dedicated hardware to it, right? So the next generation of computers comes out and it's AI focused. Do you know what a common side effect of that is going to be? These things are going to be absolutely beastly GPUs by default, meaning they will have PlayStation 7 architecture in them before a game even fucking hits. That's going to cause the entire console market to want to play catch up to the PC market real fucking quick. So, no, we may not see this generation extended forever, or we may see it extended forever and then rapidly jump. What I do know is that when you have two technologies bottlenecking on the same hardware issue, when one of them gets solved, both of them get solved, and that's going to be really interesting.
Yeah. All right, anybody else want to say anything on this topic?
I mean, the thing about it is, like, okay, if we're throwing down AI consoles, that's probably going to be a world even more expensive than the actual game.
Yeah, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole, by the way. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. What happened, Brett? Yeah.
I said I was just talking about hardware prices. No, it's not hypothetical. It's looking at the market trends. It's look, hey, this runs off of this. This runs off of this. Whenever things correct, we're going to see a dearth of compute. We're going to have extra compute. And because they use the same architecture, you're probably going to see extra gaming horsepower packed into default machines. And that's going to be good for us. We just need to make it through the drought.
Yeah, we'll see. That's a very optimistic view. My thing is, like, yo, I'm ready to clock out of gaming. You know, well, not clock out of gaming. That's facetious. I'm still going to be just clock out of modern gaming. Because, I still got a nice PC here. Got my PS5. I even got a Steam Deck. I got way more than enough games to keep me happy for the rest of my life. So I'm okay with that, you know?
I will say, for the record, my ass is a game over tattooed in my knuckles. Pulling the joystick out of my cold, dead hands.
There you go. Again, I'm not going to stop playing games. Just stop playing the modern stuff, you know, because this shit is too much, you know? All right.
You finally get to play The Witcher 3.
You know? Yo, Segway Kings later, you know?
No, I'm not missing Elden Ring 4.
Yeah, fair enough. Y'all saw how crazy that modern... Oh, yeah, Segway Kings! That's exactly what we're talking about. I wish Adam was here for this. Yeah, the other big news of the day was Modern Warfare 4 got announced. And a Syrian Air Force, I don't see you, for a year now, probably more. He's been asking, where is the Call of Duty for Switch? Because that was part of the deal, right, that Microsoft made. This one's coming to Switch too, you know? And this game, I interestingly enough, is set in South Korea. So I wonder if Kim Jong-un is going to be in it, you know?
Well, no, if it's not going to be well, it's South Korea, not North Korea.
No, no, Manny, think about it. Who's going to be invading South Korea?
Yeah,
you know?
Why are you teasing the dictator?
Because he probably doesn't play these games.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But they dare not make it China.
I think his Steam metrics would beg to differ if I remember correctly.
Yeah. No, Manny, you hit it on the head, too. They didn't make the enemy who it really should have been, you know, because they don't want to upset those guys. But yeah, does anybody have any thoughts on, again, I don't give a fuck about Call of Duty, but it's the biggest game, so I had to talk about it. This reminds me of the old throwdowns before Adam showed up, where it was like, here's our obligatory moment to talk about Call of Duty, even though we don't care about this game, you know? Whereas before, when Adam was there, it was like, Adam, take it over, you know?
This is where I missed the throwdown crickets.
Yeah, crickets, that's right. It's like, eh. Yeah, war ups.
We don't have the crickets no more?
Manny, here it is. I'm reading this right from their website. War erupts on the Korean Peninsula as North Korea launches a full-scale invasion that threatens to destabilize the world in Call of Duty Modern Warfare 4. A squad of young South Korean soldiers fights to survive under collapsing front lines while half a world away. A vengeful Captain Prince Price wages a personal war from the whatever, who cares. Rich, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, like you guys said, this is Adam's franchise, so I also would like to hear his thoughts on this. But what I will say is I think it's very interesting. They made sure to clarify this is coming out October 23rd. So, again, getting far away from Grand Theft Auto 6, you know, because everybody wants to get away from that game. So should be interesting.
Yeah. So here's a couple of things. The campaign drops players into trench warfare in Korea, close quarters combat in New York, high octane chases through Paris, SAS night raids in Mumbai, and citywide assaults to reclaim occupied territory. So I guess North Korea they somehow take over the world. I don't know.
That is a disturbing connection.
Yeah. It reminds me, what's the name of that game where South Korea did that? They launched like an EMP and took over America. Which one, Brian?
Homefront.
Homefront. That was it. So I guess this is their take on Homefront, you know? Brian, any thoughts on Shooter Man?
Weirdly enough, I actually was surprised that Call of Duty was coming out this year. I think it was the fact that, well, firstly, all the RAM stuff has been news along with the price hikes. And GTA 6. So I genuinely forgot that Call of Duty comes out this year. So I'm like, oh yeah, it is time. The naming convention is just beyond fucked up. I feel bad for anyone doing any type of game history lessons because these names are just ridiculous. Because now there's now a difference between Call of Duty Modern Warfare 4 and Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare. Those are two different games.
That's so true.
Hold up. Wait, what?
Yeah. There's Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare, and then there's Call of Duty Modern Warfare 4. Yeah, two different games.
Oh my brain.
Yeah.
And they're not even sequels to each other.
No, they're not.
Even worse.
Oh, are they even tangentially related, or are they just okay, like...
Brett, you'll love this. So Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare started the Modern Warfare franchise. So this is the third sequel to Call of Duty 4.
What?
No. This is the third sequel to Call of Duty Modern Warfare.
Wait, isn't this Call of Duty? Oh, shit, you're right. Damn. Yes. Okay.
What's going on right now?
Yeah. So, okay, Brian, let's back it up. Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare, that's the one that started all 2007.
Mm-hmm.
Then the one after that, you're right. It was called Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. Gotcha. Crazy. Yes,
so I think it was around the early 2010s. There was Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3.
Yes.
And this is Call of Duty Modern Warfare 4. And these titles are not sequels or anything. They're different timelines. The best way to explain it, Brett, is they had like a redo of everything. And then, okay, you know how comic books do like a issue one again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They basically did that, but with Call of Duty.
I feel like Assassin's Creed Brotherhood would like its naming confusion back.
Yeah. That's very, Brotherhood is, it makes perfect sense compared to this.
I mean, yeah, like I've had to sit down and break that down to people like, no, you're thinking Assassin's Creed 3, which is actually Assassin's Creed 5, because there's Assassin's Creed 2, 1, 2, and 3, and then Assassin's Creed 3, and then Black Flag, and then 4.
Yeah, Black Flag is 4, perfectly technically.
It's simple. It's like the history of Zelda.
It's insane.
Yes. There's that, and I think if I'm not mistaken, this is, and it pains me to say this, this is the 23rd Call of Duty game.
Yeah, that's probably right.
So who wants to take bets on whether Sony's going to release an exclusive or a price hike first?
Wait, for Call of Duty?
No, just in general.
No,
I'm bored with this.
Okay, fair enough. we got to stick to Call of Duty. We got to do our due diligence here. Go ahead.
Let's stick to our duty.
Yeah, it's cool. You know, it's, again, I was waiting for them to go more east since the previous games have been very west-esque, so very much America-based in some sense, whether it's America being invaded, destroyed, maybe moved to Russia slightly, but South America, they went to Africa in Black Ops 3. Since then, they've been like that part of the world, so it's nice seeing them going more east. But as Manny said, still no China villains yet. So they've had Russians, they've had Middle Eastern villains. I guess now they're going for Koreans, but still no Chinese villains. So let's see. And of course, there's a helicopter that gets shot down, because that's like the weird trope of Call of Duty games. There just has to be a helicopter being shot down.
Of course. Rich, what are your thoughts on this, and why is this your most anticipated game of the year now? Uh-oh. Rich is so mad he can't answer.
Sorry about that. I had a quick roommate had a question. Repeat that again. You're talking about Call of Duty?
Yeah. Basically, I'm asking, what are your thoughts on this announcement, and why is this now your most anticipated game of the year?
Call of Duty 4?
Yes.
Modern Warfare 4?
Yes.
All right. Well, first and foremost, that is Mr. Adam Vale, not me. definitely not my most anticipated. I have seen some people respond positively to the trailer. So obviously, yeah, they are excited, because, again, I think with Call of Duty, they're in a very confusing state of mind, because that last game, hot garbage. And they tried to some different ideas in that game that did not work. So this feels like them trying to go back to what they know and what they feel will work. But at the end of the day, it all looks like it's the same to me. I mean, I see that trailer, and I could have swore we already had a Modern Warfare 4 a couple, some years ago. So this is, I mean, I don't know. It just all feels the same to me. But for those that are excited, I'm happy for them. I could care less about this, because obviously there will be other games coming out besides GTA 6. But yeah, we'll see what happens. But no, Adam, that's the one. I need to hear his opinion on this, because obviously, he was the one that did not like the last game. So I want to know if they convinced him to check this game out.
Yeah. Yo, Carlos, you think Adam's going to think this is it? This is the one?
Unless he's caught on to the trap, probably. I mean, he was eerily quiet when Rich posted a message in our group chat. So I'm surprised. Maybe he still hasn't found out about this.
I think maybe he went into a coma after seeing how much the Steam Deck's going to cost.
Well, I mean, what is he on, two Steam Decks?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He's like, oh, shit, my third one, Julio is going to be expensive. So I think this is going to be it for Adam. This is it.
Yeah, this is it.
As far as my thoughts for on the game, it's interesting to see, it being, based in Korea, but I wonder how long it'll be there, relied on there, because they did mention a whole bunch of other locations. So
yeah.
It's like, well, so I guess it's not going to be just in Korea. It's going to be like back in New York, Just like the Division. Yeah, Division back to New York.
Better snow.
You got better snow in New York. It'll be interesting to see how they do it with the locations. I haven't been into Call of Duty in the last couple of years because, you know, they do the same thing. But, you know, a good campaign would get me back, at least for the campaign, not the multiplayer.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, there you go. Here's your obligatory Call of Duty update. We probably won't talk about this game again. All right.
Then you'll forget about it. You're like, man, they do? Oh, okay.
Well, you're not going to forget about it because, you know, it's a new year. They have to have a Call of Duty. That's the only thing. It's like death and taxes, right?
I think it's hilarious that people are just like, oh, why are they going to announce a Call of Duty? I'm like, come on, guys. You know it's coming. It don't matter. You know, they'll slap a Call of Duty game on any fucking shooting game.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. What do you guys think about the Switch version? You know, I guess they had to honor their deal there. You know, I'm curious to see how it'll perform, but we'll see. And it's also curious that they have a Switch version, yet they don't have a last gen version. This is the first time Call of Duty's not having a last gen version. You know, go ahead, Rich.
Oh, I mean, it replaced the last gen version.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Rich, go ahead, man.
No, I just was going to say in regards to that Switch version, I look forward to seeing Digital Foundry's review where they talk about this is by far one of the worst ports on the Nintendo Switch 2. So, yeah, I look forward to seeing that.
One thing about like the Switch 2, I'll say about this is the having that DLSS on that thing has been the savior of that thing when it comes to visual.
That's so true.
They literally can have a shit resolution. They just run that DLSS shit upscaling on there and it looks halfway decent.
Yeah. No, you're 100% right about that. Oh, man. All right. There you go. Next up here, Miss Asha Sharma. Got to talk about her again. So this section is going to be a little bit more speculative because she said that Xbox needs to make some tough choices. And I want to know what the fuck is she talking about? What tough choices is this going to be? You know, and I guess the context is that, you know, basically they raised the price of the consoles. This is what she said. They raised the price of the consoles and they saw a significant drop off in hardware and Game Pass subscribers. Then they lowered the price of Game Pass. And sure enough, people came back. I don't know if that was a tough choice, but I guess that's what she was saying. It's like, we got to lower the price here. So, yeah, what do you guys think could be these tough choices? I don't know, but one of the ones I know a lot of people want it to be, which I don't think it will be, is going back to full exclusives. The Xbox community has been clamoring for this ever since she took charge. Exclusives. I don't think that's going to happen. But yeah, I don't know. Go ahead, Brett. Again, you know, feel free to take it where you want.
Oh, I'm willing to bet money on this. Ooh. This is what you say before you decide which child to take behind the shed.
What? Is it 343?
Oh, shit.
No. The Series S.
Oh, damn.
Oh.
Even though that's the best-selling one?
Yeah.
That would be a tough choice.
It's holding back their ecosystem. Do they want short-term or long-term gain? Because short-term gain means long-term extinction. Very evidently so at this point. Like, you don't have a long-term runway. So if you want to play it safe for the long term, you may as well pack your bags.
And Brett, to add to that, if you are planning for this next console generation to last longer, maybe you need to have that happen.
Yeah, your brand is being like, you can come out with the more powerful console, but if your ceiling is higher and your floor is lower, you're going to be known as, and you cannot afford that right now. Get your shit together. Focus.
Yeah. Carlos, what do you think? What do you think could be a tough choice for them to make?
I mean, cutting the cord on 343.
Oh, shit.
AKA the Halo Studios. They haven't produced a great Halo game ever. You know, that
Halo it's true. Ever. It's true.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
So it's like that's supposed to be their standout franchise. And they've messed it up. I mean, we've seen reports recently about, you know, how tumultuous that whole stuff is. And it seems like they change directors every year, you know, head directors. I don't know, man. I don't see like any other studios being in trouble like 343. The Series S stuff, maybe, but I don't know if that would be like that different. Like like that controversial, like compared to like a studio closing? Or
I agree, but I don't think that they would make a statement like we have to make a hard decision for a studio closing. I think they would quietly destroy people's lives. When they say we have to make a difficult decision, that means we have to make something that doesn't seem to fall in line with our brand.
That's a good point. I mean, like, yeah, you're not going to dangle around closing a studio like that. I mean, that'd be pretty,
you're going to go Jim Ryan style? But I agree with Carlos. I'll throw a Playground on top of that. Cancel Fable and throw shutter that shit down before you release that disaster.
Yeah, well, at least just Fable, because I mean they still make Forza, and Forza Horizon.
Oh, that's true. Well, fire the Fable guys.
Fire them, yeah.
keep the Forza guys.
Oh man, Chris, what do you think would be a hard decision? Oh, go ahead, Carlos, and then Chris after you.
Just real quick, my next prediction, if it's not a studio closing, a tough choice would also be just not having their top three, AAA games day and date on Game Pass. You know, getting those released to sell, maybe even multi-platform. Who knows? Make sure that they sell as much, and then going into Game Pass later on, so the price can maybe even be brought down even a little bit more. I feel like that would be a tough decision.
I really want to throw out there that one of the main reasons why I say this, it's the same reason Apple discontinued its lowest tier model on their Mac Minis.
Yeah. Chris, go ahead, Ben.
I agree with Brett, like, that's an apt thing to do. I don't know if that's what she means, though, by tough decision. Tough decisions usually means you're cutting heads. That's why I'm more leaning towards what Carlos was getting at. I think there's going to be some, as they call it, reduction in force. We might see some layoffs in Xbox Game Studios, maybe 343, or maybe they consolidate them and do something else to create the next Halo game. I don't know. I just don't see it being that. She could get rid of the Series S, right? But that doesn't seem like a tough decision. That seems like a smart decision, right?
Yeah.
From what you're saying, that seems like the smart thing to do. That's not a tough thing to do, but to sunset that hardware that's holding you back, right? The tough thing to do is when you have to go, we're cutting like 300 heads, right, from the studios. That's where that's going to be the tough decision. Who do you cut? Where do you cut, right? So that's what I think she's getting at.
So you think it is an actual tough decision, not just a thing that they're saying? I guess where I'm like, bold of you to assume she has a conscience to be burnt.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, even if it's not, she's not Bobby Kotick, right? He'll cut people, he doesn't give a shit about anything. Like, there would be no tough decision for him in terms of people. It would be, this guy is all bottom line and bonuses, stock price, all that stuff. She's a little more in tune to what gamers want. So, I mean, if you read the room, like all these studio closures and all this stuff, it affects people negatively. They get negative impressions about, the future of gaming and whatnot. So she's privy to that. Even if she's not really I wouldn't give her that much credit that it's like affects her personally. But she realizes that if she reads the room, that is a tough decision because people look at that negatively. It's like, oh, you're cutting heads or whatever. This is what we expected. Oh, Seamus Blackley was right. So that's where you have to be like strategic. But in terms of like cutting hardware, like the Series S, that's an albatross, right? Yeah, you should cut that.
Yeah. Okay. So that's my other follow-up question. Do you, like, to me, it would seem that, in corporate speak, that's, we've had to make a tough decision about where to prioritize our spending and our investing, and we are making the very difficult but noble decision to be forward-facing and profit-driven. That feels like what I would expect coming out of any corporate bullshittery like this. So my follow-up would kind of be like, do you think that they would frame the discontinuing of the Series S as a beneficial cutting of the albatross that is their biggest moneymaker? Or do you think that they would come out with a song and dance about what a shame it is?
I don't know. I don't know how they would announce it, but it doesn't seem to me like that would get much fanfare, or that even Xbox fans would probably not disagree with that decision, especially if you have a new piece of hardware on the horizon, right, then X becomes the low-end system. And then that, or the, whatever Helix is the high-end one. Yeah, I'm still going to lean towards what Carlos is saying. I'm trying to think where they're going to make cuts. I just don't know.
Aaron Greenberg. There you go. Greeny, you're gone. Oh, man. You know what? The more I think about it, you know what? I am going to go buck wild right now. I think a tough decision will be no more games on PlayStation. We're done with that shit. Now that would be a tough decision.
Well, like, I'm trying to focus. Like, I don't think when they say tough decision that they mean tough decision. They mean something that makes sense for our bottom line without upsetting our fan base or moral grandstanding.
The people. Like, fan base would, I mean, they're already doing it. They would honor her like a fucking god if she did that shit, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. The Xbox influencers would be happy to flip flop again on exclusives.
You know,
exclusives are good.
You've seen the AI generated, you know, like homages they've made to Asha already, right? Imagine if Homegirl says, "That's it. We're only putting our games on Xbox and PC. Sorry, PlayStation." Man.
But that would also be something they would have to, like, that's another one of those hugely beneficial, but we'd have to frame it as we had. And that's why, that's honestly why I kind of went towards with the Series S. I was like, we had no choice but to have to do this thing, which was good for us, even though we told you we weren't going to do it. Aw, sorry. But that is also another one of those exact same type of things. So I'd support Tony's vote too.
You gave me the courage to go with that. You know, I was like, you know, thanks, what? Brett's Tony. Going there. I'm going with this one too. You know, there you go. Man, you got anything? Tough decisions Miss Asha Sharma could make?
I was going to say like cutting some deadweight studios.
Like 343?
No, I don't. They're not going to cut 343. They're going to cut like Double Fine and Ninja Theory.
Oh, shit.
I can see them doing those two, because you look at the, I mean, granted, you know, Halo didn't do as amazing as they did, but Double Fine just released like two games and nobody cared about it.
Yeah.
They released that game with the lighthouse, the walking lighthouse.
Yes.
That game came out.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Nobody cared. And they did.
Are you still angry about Hi-Fi Rush?
I know that they're going to do. They're not going to cut the real thing that's siphoning money from them, right? They're going to cut the other things that are smaller that don't, you know, that may not make nearly as much of a difference, but they're going to do that. I think it's going to be a Hi-Fi Rush situation.
Fuck.
I think you're still rightfully mad about Hi-Fi Rush. I feel you. I can hear it.
You know, again, like, you know, it's here's the thing. It definitely was bullshit because they had a decently selling game and it wouldn't cost that much to do. But yet in all, you have, you know, another company, you have Ninja Theory, which I did enjoy that last Hellblade, but that thing did not do nearly as well as the last one.
Oh, yeah, no. Hi-Fi Rush is the video game equivalent of when Chaney shot the other hunter in the face.
Yeah, pretty much. So I think if there's going to be the tough decisions, it's going to be cutting the other smaller studios to essentially keep the other guys around, you know, to keep the big guys around. For a place like Double Fine, I love that studio. I think they do fun stuff. I kind of wanted to play the stupid lighthouse game, but at the same time, it's like, what are they doing? That's really, there's only so long that they could just release stuff that doesn't do anything. Whereas, you know, if they were so easy to cut off, Tango Gameworks, who actually did do something, you know, who's to say that those two guys won't be on the chopping block?
Yeah, it's true. Brian, what do you think? Tough decision Asha Sharma could make.
Close down Xbox.
Close down! I like that one.
Wait, one second.
In favor of what?
I should have said Brian for last.
In favor of making Co-Pilot 2. Oh,
sure. I love it.
Well, again, we all know that Xbox isn't really a big thing of Microsoft. So loads it down, move resources to AI.
Would they call it co-pilot gaming?
They probably would.
Yes.
Because of their wonderful naming conventions.
Right.
Oh, man.
Co-pilot CSX and co-pilot CSS. There
you go. I love it. All right. And Rich, I don't know how you're going to follow that one up, but go ahead. I should have saved Brian for last.
Don't underestimate Rich.
You know, Rich, that's right. Rich can hit you with something, you know.
Well, I think you guys said a lot of great points. First and foremost, I think what Brett said about Xbox Series S, yes, that needs to happen. Because one thing we do know about, as the fans call her, Asha Almighty, what we know is that she definitely pays attention to stuff that has happened and stuff that didn't work for Xbox in the past. Multiple devs came out talking about Xbox Series S being a problem when they were working on their game. So I 1000% think that will happen at some point in time. But as far as what could hurt, well, funny you guys mentioned 343 because I agree 1000% with Manny. They are not going to get rid of that studio because they already have some stuff they're working on. They're working on the next Halo now for whether it's Xbox and PC. But I also agree with the comment that Manny made about getting rid of the smaller studios. However, one decision that would hurt, and this is going to be controversial. If they decided to get rid of Obsidian. Reason I say this is because Obsidian, they make great games. I don't know how any of those games are performing sales-wise. I know that they had Outer Worlds 2 that came out last year. I don't know how that did because I haven't heard anybody talking about it.
So that's what I heard, but they are also the ones who made Grounded, one of their tentpole live service games, if Sea of Thieves, which does some fucking numbers. And Grounded 2 is in active early access right now and doing some numbers as well.
So Obsidian is safe. Ninja Theory, I could see that. I know they are supposedly working on another Hellblade? Yeah, they're working on another Hellblade, but I could see that happening. And then, of course, the one game that I think everybody has been wondering, where the hell is this game? They could very well cancel that Blade game. And I don't want that to happen. But obviously, the Blade movie got canceled, right? So that seems to be an ongoing issue with that. Whoever's working on anything Blade related, there's a problem. So hopefully that doesn't happen. But they're definitely going to make some cuts. I also would say they will look at some of the Bethesda studios they have acquired. And if they have not been doing well, they may make some reductions as far as some of those teams are concerned. Obviously, they're not going to mess around with Elder Scrolls or Starfield. That's still Carlos's favorite game that he has ever played. we'll see what happens. But I definitely think I don't really know what the tough decisions. When you guys made the comment talking about her made a tough decision, I thought, so instead of it being Xbox all caps, let's just go back to the regular spelling Xbox. I thought that was going to be the tough decision. Yes.
Yeah, I'm not spelling it that way, man. With the all caps, it's stupid. It just visually doesn't look right with the two X's the same size. I kind of like the difference, from an artistic standpoint. All right, and the last story of the night, this one came out of nowhere. The Witcher 3, a game that came out 11 years ago, is getting a brand new expansion.
Yep, and a new release.
Fucking insane,
And a new release.
What's the new release?
It's being re-released on PS5. Is it? That's the big deal, yeah.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that part,
Yeah, it's getting the re-release. It's getting a new version that's being put on PS5 and the modern Xbox, but with a new DLC added to it.
Is that the reason why the PC specs have gone up for it?
Yes, because they're essentially doing it's running at a higher resolution. They're probably putting in some of the things that they did from Cyberpunk into that engine.
Yeah. Oh, the game has sold. I need to double check IGN here. I think it's more than this. The game has sold 60 million copies. I think it actually might be more than that, but it's a lot of fucking copies. 11-year-old game is getting a DLC, which is wild. you know? And I think it's probably setting the stage for The Witcher 4. That's the only thing that makes sense to me. Why you would go in to revive this game, you know?
Yeah, it's the legitimately the last release of a Witcher game. So also, not to mention, they are also doing a remaster or remake of Witcher 1.
That's right. That shit still didn't come out. That's crazy. But yeah, Brian, I'm jumping to you because you're Mr. Witcher. What do you think about this?
To be honest, for the first 5 hours, I thought it was fake. Because I was like, yeah, okay. It's just one of those weird things taken on, off like a screenshot, you know, state of play type nonsense. And then I was like, okay, no, this is actually real. Like, okay, not good to complain with more Witcher. But at the same time, I think this is them just trying to gain some good graces after Cyberpunk. Mm. Say, hey, look, we still made the Witcher games. Please don't discount us. So, yeah, let's see what it is. Eager to see how this works in terms of pricing and whether or not there'll be a discount if you own all DLCs. Yeah. But yeah. Again, more Witcher is never really a bad thing in my books.
Yeah, so now the game will be 300 hours long. Anyway, does anybody else have any thoughts on this? Yeah, go ahead, Rich.
I was just going to add, I believe they said they're going to be showing this during Gamescom, so people are going to learn about it very soon. That's sometime in August. But they also confirmed this is coming out next year, 2027. So that tells me Witcher 4 probably ain't coming out till maybe 2028.
Ooh.
Or dare I say 2029. But again, we'll see, because I think they said this is like towards the summer of next year is when they're planning to release this. So we'll have to see about that. But I agree with what Brian said. Obviously, they know they messed up with Cyberpunk, so they want to remind people, listen, The Witcher, that is our joint. So just a reminder, you know, if you haven't checked it out, hey, check it out. And of course, Cyberpunk, hey, we got another Cyberpunk game for you, but that ain't dropping until maybe 2030 or beyond. So
yeah, here it is. By the way, I knew IGN was off. 65 million copies worldwide.
Ooh.
I wonder where it sits in like top selling games of all time. Because remember, we talked about this last week.
Top 10.
It's in the top 10, but it's not near the top three, right? Because the top three are the dominant ones.
To quote Rich, hell no. Well, you need to be in the 200 millions.
Yeah, well, actually, because remember, the third best selling game of all time is Red Dead Redemption 2, and that's 85 million. So it's only 20 million behind that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But obviously,
yeah, I wonder how many.
When you get into GTA fucking territory, you know?
No.
That shit is crazy.
I'm actually kind of happy about this news, even though I'm not a Witcher fan per se. Just for the mere fact that it's an added inspiration to actually play the game. You know, Witcher 3 is just one of those games that I never got to play. I actually did get to play, but I only played like an hour, like after the fact.
Yeah, same here.
But, so I, you know, it's one of those things where I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Like it's the extra boost I needed to get to The Witcher and actually play The Witcher 3.
You know what? If I give up on modern gaming, there you go, Brian. I'll start finally play The Witcher. It's crazy, man. All right. So there you go.
Really?
Yes. Logic Win says, I never finished The Witcher 3, but this is a great opportunity to finally finish up. There you go. Good stuff.
Oh yeah.
Go ahead, Brian.
Definitely. Yeah. It's really good, especially if you hated the TV show. So you actually get to see what the story actually ends like. And the story itself is actually really good. Again, I've noticed that most games just can't stick the landing in terms of the ending, but The Witcher 3 I think wrapped up nicely. Again, could have been better, but still good.
Yeah. Logic Win says, Tony, what about the Dragon Quest announcement? Yeah, I would have brought up, but I'm the only one who gives a shit. You know?
Yeah, Dragon Quest.
Yeah, I know. I'm happy for it. I'm not happy with the character design, though. I'm like, oh, Akira Toriyama is obviously not involved with this. The character,
I think that was his last character design.
Ooh, Akira, oh, baby, what is you doing? Because that main character doesn't look that great.
I mean, it could have just been like some, like a sketch that he drew. You know, and they just sort of cleaned it up. But yeah, it was the last game he worked on.
Wow, that's crazy. But yeah, it's Dragon Quest 12. I'm excited. I've been waiting for this announcement for years, literally years. Dragon Quest 11 is still my favorite JRPG of last generation. I had to double check. It was last generation. Generations are long now. So I'm definitely excited for that. And I'll toss it in here too. I'm also excited for Persona 6. That's finally, like, we got some character art and stuff. And I believe this just... my speculation, but maybe I'm right about this. Maybe we'll learn more at Summer Game Fest. So, you know, again, I only really play three JRPG franchises, Final Fantasy, Persona, and Dragon Quest. So I'm happy as fuck right now, you know? So that's good. They got some work to do for sure. Yeah, I mean, yeah, we'll see. But, you know, it's, and thankfully, because there was some worry that they may decide to change up the formula, Dragon Quest doesn't look like it. It's going to be your old Dragon Quest. And I, you know, obviously I did play the remake of seven, Dragon Quest 7 this year, and it was, that was great. So give me more of that, please. I want Breath of Fire 4. Talk to Capcom. You know, we'll see what happens. People have been asking for those games forever. Man, we've been eating good. Persona 4 Revival. Persona 6, DQ12, DQ11, Switch 2 version. Oh shit, it came out on the Switch 2? Because I remember they had it on the Switch. What's going on, Reggie? He goes, Tony, I got one thing to say. This one's for you, Gambit. he goes, now get to work, Emilio. We need your special touch on Gambit one more time.
Gambit? No.
Have you ever drawn Gambit? No.
I drew Gambit as a print once, but yeah. I've never drawn Gambit professionally for Marvel.
Yeah,
I don't even think I've ever worked on an X-Men comic with any of the main X-Men. But I have worked on Spider-Man.
A few times. There you go. Yeah, I think that's just Reggie's way of saying that he wants you to draw Gambit. I'm not even lying. You are legitimately one of his favorite artists of all time. Like he always gushes about your stuff. You know, you're muted.
Well, thank you.
There you go. All right, start wrapping it up here. Rich, what's coming up on the Coalition this weekend?
All right, well, first and foremost, a shout out to Mr. Adam Vale, the TV Terminal. Definitely check out the TV Terminal, ladies and gentlemen, on YouTube as well as thecoalition.com. As for the Coalition, I'm not going to lie. There is nothing coming this weekend because This is the calm before the storm, because I'm going to be at Summer Game Fest next week. So I will definitely have a lot to talk about in, you know, next week and beyond. But yeah, right now, just preparing. I am going to be playing some 007 at some point. I will definitely be reviewing that, talking about it in more detail on the website as well as the YouTube channel. So stay tuned for that. But all I can say is stay tuned. There's a lot of things coming that we will finally be able to talk about pretty soon.
Rich, Logic Win says that he is enjoying, he thinks you and Dane are doing a great job covering Power.
Oh, well, hey, thank you very much, sir. And since you mentioned that, let me also give this little quick plug. Yeah, definitely check out the Entertainment Channel. Dana and I have also been reviewing some movies. Obviously, we did review Obsession, and I do want to make this comment because I don't think any of you guys heard about this. Obsession, they made that movie for $750,000. Now it is made about $100 million, and they posted today it actually has made more than Mandalorian and Grogu. So that is not good for a Star Wars franchise. So, but yeah, definitely check out our review. And if you get a chance, check out that movie. It is definitely one of the best horror movies so far this year.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, no, when I saw that news, I saw that, Rich, about how it made more money than the fucking Star Wars movie. Fuck. It's crazy, man. But we're not going to go down that rabbit hole. All right, that's going to do it for us. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe on YouTube. Join a Discord. Check us out on your favorite podcast app. Links to everything down below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco. And tonight, I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
And Brian Manjoma.
Rest in peace, Destruction All-Stars.
Oh, shit. So you're still alive. The first Concord game, right, Carlos?
It launched the timeline.
There you go. All right, guys, we shall return on Sunday. And start getting in your pre-Summer Game Fest questions, you know? Start getting them in now. All right, we'll see you later.
Later.
Peace.